Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You have made it. It is Friday, or as I like to say, Fry-yay. It's June 22nd, 2018, and we are so honored you've allowed us to close out your work week here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. That's right. I am the man behind the mic, your host, your captain of this ship we call Current Sports, and we've got a lot to chat about today. Of course, leading the show will be last night's NBA draft. A lot of things occurred, at least in the beginning of the first round, right? At least when it comes to the lottery pick selections. A lot of movement, some trades here and there. One of those trades affecting at least one of the two Spartans who were drafted last night during the lottery picks. That player being Miles Bridges. Tom Izzo was in the house to support Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. There was also an interesting exchange that was caught between Tom Izzo and John Beilein. And by interesting, I mean just two of them just chatting it up. Of course, John Beilein, the head coach of the University of Michigan basketball program, and Tom Izzo for the Michigan State men's basketball program. So we'll talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges getting selected as lottery picks in last night's NBA draft. Don't miss that conversation, because I think it alludes to a bigger conversation that I want to make when it comes to how the college and even the pro game has changed today. I couldn't help but think about this last night. All right, stick around for that conversation. Also, Mo Wagner. I love Mo Wagner. I know that's probably a cardinal sin, Michigan State men's basketball fans out there, because Mo Wagner just gave it to Michigan State last season as the Wolverines' top time Izzo, not once, but twice. The Wolverines go on to win the Big Ten Tournament Championship. They go on to go all the way to the Big Dance, losing to Villanova in the National Championship game. Mo Wagner becomes one of the faces of college basketball last year. And get this, though. Mo Wagner, he'll be taking his talents to the West Coast now, out in Los Angeles, California. And did you ever think you'd see a Spartan draft a Wolverine? Did you ever think you'd seen that? Magic Johnson, of course, who is in charge of all things Lakers now, he was the man that pulled the trigger on acquiring Mo Wagner to the L.A. Lakers, to the purple and gold. I don't know if you guys saw the phone conversation that happened. It was a really cool exchange. Magic basically saying, hey, boy, bring it. Bring it now. We got you. And Mo Wagner on the other end just elated. So very cool stuff. I'll try to answer the question just how good Mo Wagner will be. We will also talk a little bit about the NHL draft and what the NHL draft will mean for the Winged Will, the Detroit Red Wings, and more drama coming out of Michigan State University as Michigan State University's governing board rejected an effort to oust the school's interim president and John Engler this morning as trustees met to discuss how to pay for the $500 million settlement with hundreds of women and girls who said they were sexually assaulted and abused by former sports doctor Larry Nassar. So the MSU board rejected by vote the notion of possibly ousting John Engler as president. We hope to have our very own Scott Pohl live here in studio
to talk about what went down on MSU's campus this morning, all right? And then on the back end of the show, we will have Reflection Friday for you all as we bring some of our favorite moments that have occurred throughout the week here on Current Sports and maybe bring up a few stories that we have not gotten a chance to really elaborate on or even chat about, all right? We'll do all of that while, of course, allowing you, the listener, the viewer, to be a part of the show. If you're watching at facebook.com/WKAR News, you can comment below the video. You can also call the show by simply picking up the phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, or you can join us via Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with, of course, more drama coming out of Michigan State University. MSU's governing board rejected an effort to oust the school's interim president, John Engler, this morning as the board of trustees met to discuss how to pay for a $500 million settlement. Trustee Brian Masalem tried to change the meeting agenda and allow a vote to fire John Engler, who had disparaged victims and their lawyers in emails that surfaced last week. Now, the audience cheered, but the board voted 6-2 against taking up the issue. Now, Engler apologized on Thursday for suggesting in emails that Rachel Denhollander, one of Nassar's most outspoken victims, probably received a, quote, kickback from her attorney. The controversy over his remarks broke open days ago while Engler was out of town. Engler went on to say, quote, "I didn't give it the consideration it warranted. That was a big mistake. I was wrong. I apologize." We'll have more on that story in segment B of WKAR's Current Sports. Michigan State University's executive associate athletic director and senior women's administrator will resign from her position effective July 1st. Shelly Applebaum, who joined the university in 1999, notified the university last week of her resignation. In 2015, Applebaum was appointed Executive Associate Athletic Director, a message left seeking comment from Applebaum by various media sources was not immediately returned. And what a time to be a Spartan. It was a good night for former MSU basketball stars Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson as both were selected in the lottery portion of the NBA draft. Jackson went number 4 to the Memphis Grizzlies, while Miles Bridges was drafted at number 12 to the LA Clippers. But Miles' stint with the Clippers was short-lived as he was traded to the Charlotte Hornets in exchange for point guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky and second-round picks in 2020 and 2021.
With the 4th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State University. With the 12th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the LA Clippers select Miles Bridges from Michigan State University.
All right, well, again, we'll have more on the draft selections of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges in just a moment. And also, a Michigan Wolverine was selected in the NBA draft last night. The LA Lakers added some size, rebounding, and shooting last night by drafting Michigan big man Moritz Wagner with the 25th pick of the first round.
With the 25th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Moritz Wagner from Berlin and the University of Michigan.
Again, not Wagner, Wagner. GM Rob Pelinka had this to say about the U of M big man. Quote, selecting Mo Wagner was a big target for Magic Johnson. When you build a team, you have to have pillars that you build on. For us, we are sticking to those core principles, which are guys that are high IQ basketball players that play the game the right way and can shoot and have length and have versatility and play with toughness, end quote. Fellow Wolverine Duncan Robinson, he has signed a summer league contract with the Miami Heat after going undrafted. The Detroit Pistons stocked up their backcourt depth yesterday by adding a nice duo of guards during the NBA draft. The Pistons first acquired Kyrie Thomas from Philadelphia for a pair of future second-round picks after the 76ers had selected the 6'3 guard from Creighton with the 38th overall pick in the second round. Scouts raved about Thomas's three-point shooting and his defense. Some thought he would have went late in the first round. The Pistons' sole pick in the NBA draft at 42nd overall was the 6'5 guard from Miami, Bruce Brown. The freshman averaged 11.8 points, 5.6 rebounds, and 3.2 assists. The Tigers continue their quest to keep it at 500 for the first time since early April as they take on the AL Central leading Cleveland Indians tonight at 7:10 p.m. The Tigers are now 5 games back from the AL Central lead and are sitting at 36-39 overall. Mike Fiers gets the start for the old English D and is hoping to bring the Detroit Tigers one game closer to catching up with Cleveland. The 2018 NHL draft will take place tonight from the American Airlines Arena. American Airlines Center, I should say, in Dallas, Texas. I was in NBA mode just then. The Buffalo Sabres possess the first overall pick in tonight's draft, and barring something completely unpredictable, will draft Swedish superstar defenseman Rasmus Dahlin. The Detroit Red Wings hold the 6th overall pick in this year's draft and should have the opportunity to select a quality player at that spot. Potential draft candidates include London Knights defenseman Evan Bouchard, U of M defenseman Quinn Hughes, and AB Titan defenseman Noah Dobson. The draft will get underway tonight at 7:30 p.m.
After a while, you just go, wait a second here. He's this good. And he's not sexy. You know what? There's not end-to-end rushes. There's not dashes and flashes of brilliance. But what there is this great intelligence, this great ability to impact the game, great with the puck, and he reminds me of Hall of Famer Larry Murphy. I'm not saying he's Larry Murphy, but that's the type of game he plays. You're talking about a guy who hit 87 points.
Now, that was NHL draft analyst Craig Button on Evan Bouchard. All right, both Clarissa Shields of Flint and Hannah Gabriels of Costa Rica, their middleweight championship fight Friday night is slated to be the most challenging of both of their professional careers. They'll meet at Detroit's Masonic Temple for the vacant IBF and WBA middleweight titles as the main event of a 10-bout card that will be televised live beginning at 10 p.m. on Showtime. I am really excited about this fight tonight. Shields, the only American boxer, male or female, in history to win 2 Olympic boxing gold medals, has become the biggest name in women's boxing and is the only woman to ever headline a nationally televised card. She'll put a perfect record of 5-0 with 2 knockouts on the line against Gabriels, who is 18-1-1 with 11 KOs. Tonight at 10 p.m., again, I can't wait for this fight. Also, a very good undercard is scheduled for tonight as well. All right, we got a World Cup update courtesy of current sports production assistant Connor Mathis. Connor, what you got?
Well, we got Brazil defeated Costa Rica 2-0 earlier today with goals from Neymar and Coutinho. With the win, Brazil moves up to first place in Group E with Serbia behind them. Nigeria defeated Iceland 2-0 in a huge win that put the African nation in second place in Group D. As of today, Croatia is the only team guaranteed to advance out of the group, with the second berth wide open between Nigeria with 3 points, Argentina with 1 point, and Iceland with 1 point. In the next game, Nigeria takes on Argentina, and Iceland takes on Croatia. Both those games will be on Tuesday at 2 p.m. And also, it was announced today that German defender Mats Hummels will likely be sidelined for Germany's second match versus Sweden with a neck injury.
Okay, how about that? I feel like maybe I'm overreacting to this. I feel like there's been a lot of injuries, Connor.
Yeah.
Early in the World Cup. Is that true? Is that
Yeah, Neymar re-hurt his ankle, and there was like a bunch of questions if he was going to play. He ended up playing anyways. Mm-hmm. And then One of the nations, their goalie, or Tunisia's starting goalie got hurt his first game after a good save that was short-lived.
Right.
But yeah, there's been quite a few injuries this year so far.
And you know, soccer cracks me up, current sports engineer Ian Hawley, because I tell you what, how many times have we seen in the World Cup, in the past of the World Cup, like guys get injured and then, you know, they're on the ground and it looks like they're in writhing pain. It looks like, you know, you need to call the EMS and all of a sudden they just hop up like nothing happened. The definition of flopping, right, Ian? I mean, it makes no sense to me. So there you have that. All right, Connor, outstanding job, my friend. Again, are there any more matches taking place today?
We got one more, I think, today. Let me look that up.
Okay, we'll look that up because I believe there's usually at least one match I know, or that's been kind of the trend throughout this week at 2 p.m. So we'll update our listeners later on when it comes to that. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and weigh in on anything that's on your sports noggin, what did you think of last night's NBA draft? What do you think of where Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges landed? What do you think of what the Detroit Pistons were able to do in the second round? Two guards now coming to the red, white, and royal blue. I must say, I was impressed with what the Pistons were able to do. Ed Stefanski, great move there, but I'll explain why I'm a little salty about what could have been for the Detroit Pistons last night. All right, let's keep it moving.
Select Jaren Jackson Jr. from Michigan State University.
The Big Ten freshman and defensive player of the year in his lone season with Tom Izzo and the Spartans. His dad was a longtime NBA player, won a championship with the Spurs. His mom is director of player ops at WNBA. As you see, Miles Bridges, his teammate at Michigan State. We'll hear his name called a little bit later on tonight.
With the 12th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the LA Clippers select Miles Bridges from Michigan State University.
So Miles Bridges, the latest great basketball player to come from Flint Town, as Tom Izzo has another spark selected tonight, the second Michigan State player that has been picked in the lottery. Bridges left Flint Southwestern High School for Huntington Prep. His mom wanted him to go pro last year, but during his first year at Michigan State, he was alone in the basketball building, or so he thought. And some of the staff heard him walking through going, "I love this place."
I'm just blessed to be here. Not a lot of people get this opportunity to get drafted to the NBA. It's been my dream since I could dream. So I'm blessed to be here. Charlotte's a great city. Michael Jordan is the owner. We have great pieces. I want to come in with a winning attitude, try and make the playoffs, develop under veterans like Nicholas Batum and those guys. So I'm just happy to be in Charlotte.
I wanted to be an NBA player probably as long as I can remember. I can't really even, you know, it's everybody's dream. You know? We dream about this every day, and we dream about this moment probably more than you can think of. You know? It's surreal.
I'm no different than a parent. You know, I sat with both guys' parents, and it was an incredible night for them. That I've always said that I want to be around people that get a chance to live their dream, because I, too, got a chance to live mine by being the head coach at Michigan State. So I think it's one of those win-wins, and I wouldn't miss it. Haven't missed one on any guys I've had here, and hopefully I'll have a lot in the future.
Oh, was it a fun time last night, or what? A little cool Mo D. I go to work on this Friday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show if you are just now plugging in. Got a great show coming your way, starting with, of course, what you just heard. The announcement from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges, both being selected in last night's NBA draft. You had Jaren selected with the fourth overall pick by the Memphis Grizzlies, and Bridges was taken with the 12th pick by the LA Clippers. And later on, Bridges was later traded by the Clippers to the Charlotte Hornets for the 11th pick. You heard the voices of Jaren Jackson Jr. and how he's been dreaming of this moment since he was a kid. And you heard Miles Bridges talk about Michael Jordan being the owner of the Hornets and what it's going to be like, you know, going to Charlotte and getting a chance to meet MJ and play for MJ. And then Tom Izzo, what it means to him to see two of his outstanding young players selected in the NBA draft, taking their talents professionally. He feels like a father watching his child go off to bigger and better things. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can join us via Facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream there and comment below that video. Tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know, there's a few things that ran through my mind when watching last night's NBA draft. I'm going to get to Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. in just a moment. But I couldn't help but think about how overwhelmingly the first round picks were one and done players. Overwhelmingly. You know, Grayson Allen and Chandler Hutchinson were back-to-back picks in the 20s of the first round. Those two players in Hutchinson and Allen were the only seniors out of college selected in the first round. That ties a record low in the first. That's insane, right? Everybody else, you know, either, you know, one and dones or two and dones or three and dones. Mostly one and dones. And this is what really the game of basketball has become now at the college level. At least the good players, right? This is what the league has become now in the NBA. And the way, I also thought about how the game, the way the game is played has just changed. You know, it's a perimeter-based league today in the NBA. If you can't shoot the basketball, you're going to have a hard time finding any kind of consistent minutes out there in today's NBA. But you know what? You know, looking at, and you can ask this to me, you know, but Al, you know, bigs accounted for five of the first seven players selected. You can say that, sure. You can rebuttal with that when I say today's game has become a perimeter-based game. Al, bigs accounted for five of the first seven players selected. I hear your argument. But those players are really what the modern big has become today. You have to be able to shoot the rock from beyond the three-point line now. You have to be able to face up, take your man off the dribble. You know, the old school back you down and destroy you off the glass, that big man is now dead and gone. You know, heck, just this morning, you know, I was on Instagram and, you know, a crazy video. I had to do a double take when I saw it this morning. A crazy video of Detroit Pistons big man Andre Drummond has been floating around now. And, you know, you have Andre, like, just swishing threes in the corner, like he's Ray Allen or Reggie Miller It's crazy. You know, his stroke looked good. I mean, he looked confident shooting it. You know, Andre Drummond is realizing now that no longer can he just be that big man who just sits in the paint, rebounds, puts a shot back up off the glass. He has to modify his game and take his game to the perimeter because that is what is expected from today's NBA big man. The game is completely changing. And I also saw Andre Drummond on that very same video. I mean, the dude was canning threes. And then he was shooting free throws and canning free throws, making free throws. I kid you not. Go look for yourself. And he looked confident at the free throw line, just one after another, just swish, swish, swish. We'll see what happens when, of course, the start of the 2018-19 season gets underway. But Andre Drummond, his stroke is looking much improved, I must say. But Andre is realizing that, okay, I need to get in the gym. I need to figure out this jump shot thing or else my shelf life in the NBA is going to be cut. I need to add more years. I need to add more years on my shelf life in the league. And I get it. You know, Mo Bamba, you know, a big name, lottery pick in this year's NBA draft. Mo Bamba says that, you know, right before the NBA draft out in NYC, Mo Bamba came out and said that he wanted to stand out by being a big man. And by the way, Mo Bamba is huge. Specifically, when you talk about his wingspan, Mo Bamba has a 7'10" wingspan. That is the longest recorded wingspan at the NBA Combine, in the Combine's history. Crazy, right? He said he wanted to stand out by utilizing the three-point line, by hitting the three. Well, that's not really standing out anymore as a big man. It has almost become a requirement with how the game is played today. And how about this? I saw this stat on SportsCenter last night on ESPN, and I had to actually rewind it when I heard it. You know, Joel Embiid, who is the centerpiece for the Philadelphia 76ers. He is the Philadelphia 76ers big man. Get this. Joel Embiid hit 66 threes last season. To show you how the game has changed, how it's a different day, it's a different era in today's league, Joel Embiid hitting 66 threes last year. In the 1986-87 season, get this, Michael Jeffrey Jordan attempted 66 threes for the entire season. If that doesn't put in perspective how the game has changed, I don't know what will. Joel Embiid knocking down 66 trays, MJ back in 1986-87, attempted 66 trays. Crazy. The game has changed. You know, especially with how physical you can't be today as well. I mean, you can't clutch and grab like you used to. You can't bully people in today's NBA with that kind of play. You know, when you look at DeAndre Ayton, selected first overall by the Phoenix Suns, he also had 24 double-doubles last season. That is the most in Arizona basketball history. DeAndre Ayton is the modern-day athlete that you are looking for. You know, no longer do we want our big man to camp down low and make a dominant presence felt in the paint. Luka Doncic, you know, draft rights traded to the Mavs. A few takeaways here. Luka Doncic, his draft rights, were traded to the Dallas Mavericks. He was selected third overall by the Atlanta Hawks. You know, he now has the perfect mentor in Dirk Nowitzki. And Dirk Nowitzki actually went on Twitter because that's like the handshake and the welcome in today's modern world of 2018, right? You got to go on Twitter and tag somebody. Dirk Nowitzki went on Twitter and said, "Welcome, my man," and tagged Luka Doncic on Twitter. Nowitzki, yeah, that's the perfect mentor because Luka Doncic is coming, you know, as an international player to the NBA. He's going to have to deal with a lot of new things, a lot of new areas. You know, Nowitzki knows what it's like for Luka dealing with the pressures of being a highly touted international player. It's going to be fun to see how his game adjusts. But it's just a new era. It really is. It really is. I mean, the fact that Grayson Allen and Chandler Hutchinson, back-to-back picks in the 20s, the only senior selected in the first round. And I think now, I mean, you know, I couldn't help but also think, you know, watching Tom Izzo and, you know, Jay Wright, John Beilein, these fantastic college basketball coaches watching their players make their NBA dreams come true and walk across the stage. You know, I'm gonna make a statement that a lot of diehard college basketball fans may not agree with. I think that today in the college basketball game, for head coaches, and this is the way the league is set up now, which is why I think that the one and done rule needs to be changed. But getting one and dones and putting players in the NBA early, if you are a college coach, that is more important than winning championships today. It really is. It is all about how many players you have put in the league, because how can you go to the living room of a 4 or 5 star prospect and not have a track record of putting guys in the league? That has become more important today than winning championships. Now, you would think, well, you can rebuttal and say, hey, Al, well, don't you have to get those highly touted prospects in order to have a chance at winning championships? Touche. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But watching Izzo and hearing, you know, I also want to go back to a quote that Miles Bridges had 2 days before the NBA draft out in New York City. Miles Bridges, during a media scrum with reporters, he was asked about why he decided to come back to Michigan State University after having a great freshman campaign. You can also make the argument that Miles Bridges would have been a top 10 pick. Again, we're really grasping at straws in saying this. He was right outside. He was still a lottery pick, just right outside a top 10 pick. If he would have came out his first year, though, who knows? I think he would have been a top 10 pick. We can go back and forth about that all day. But Miles Bridges, when asked why he came back after his first season under the leadership of Tom Izzo, he said, you know what? I enjoyed the college experience. I was enjoying it so much. That's why I wanted to come back. And you know what? I didn't want to be one of those guys who had one foot in the NBA and the other foot in college hoops. And I totally get that, because we all know when we see a lot of these big names commit to a school, academics are the last thing on their mind. NBA is numero uno. And if you can win the battle of, oh, look at me, look at my track record of putting guys early in the NBA. John Calipari, he's made a career on doing it, getting the one and dones. Look, if you come to my program, I mean, it's hard to argue with this. When you go into the living room of a parent and say, I can put you in the league after just one season at Kentucky. What kid is turning that down? I get it. I get the sell. Adam Silver gets the sell. But you know what? It's hurting the league now. It is really hurting the overall product of the NBA, because a lot of these one and dones just frankly aren't ready for the NBA, which is why 39% of players who are currently balling in the National Basketball Association have had at least one stint in the NBA's G League. The fit I like best. 14th pick, Michael Porter Jr. You know, this pick hurts me, Ian Hawley. Before we hit this first break, I want to make this point. The Detroit Pistons, the whole Blake Griffin trade, the Pistons were supposed to have, you know, a 12th pick in this year's draft. But they traded those rights away when Stan Van Gundy and Tom Gores decided to go ahead and trade for Blake Griffin. The Pistons could have had that 12th pick. And with that 12th pick, you know who is sitting there? Not only Miles Bridges, who could have stayed in Michigan, right, and balled right down the street, you know, in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. But they also could have had Michael Porter Jr., who at one time was a top 2 pick. Coming out of high school, I mean, Michael Porter Jr. at one time was the best high school player in the nation. The Nuggets get him. Now, it's a high risk, high reward here because of the back injury, because of the back surgery that Michael Porter Jr. had. But 14th, Michael Porter Jr., if he stays healthy, I mean, he is really a top three pick. He can be a steal, or he can go the other way if his back becomes a problem. But if he stays healthy, oh boy, Michael Porter Jr. is going to be a good player in the league, I think. So it's just, you know, the Pistons could have, even though I think the Pistons did a good job with what they were given, what could have been, right? Mm-hmm. What could have been?
Yeah, you know,
on that.
Again, with the Blake Griffin thing, Blake Griffin, just getting him, you know, inherently is a good thing for the Pistons. He's a superstar. He's got superstar prowess. But he's old, and they paid him way too much money, in my opinion, for the amount of injuries that he's sustained throughout his career.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be a viable option after, you know, maybe five more years in the league. I think he'll hit a steep decline. And I think they're going to have a lot of problems with the contract that they're giving him right now. And like you say, with the opportunity to get some nice young talent like a Miles Bridges or a Michael Porter Jr., really makes you wonder what could have been in this draft had the Pistons not tied up so much money with that Blake Griffin trade.
And last year, Luke Kennard.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have had Donovan Mitchell. I'm still
sour
about this.
Don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, I mean, so it's been a history of just bad draft picks by the Detroit Pistons. But I think, I think they did well with what they were given last night. Props to Ed Stefanski, all right? Also, Clippers, great back-to-back picks. I like what they did there. Trae Young, fifth overall by the Mavs. Those draft rights were traded to the Atlanta Hawks with Luka Doncic. We're going to be talking about Luka Doncic and Trae Young a lot next NBA season. I'm curious to see who has the better rookie year. Young has to get stronger, and he has to become a better defender. That's my big knock on him. Also, when it comes to colleges, Villanova, three underclassmen taken in the first round, three in school history entering this past year. Duke, third time multiple Duke players were drafted in the top 10 in Kentucky, 11th straight year in which Coach John Calipari has had a top 10 pick. When it comes to Michigan State and Jackson and Bridges, you can make the argument this is the best draft class that Michigan State has had dating back to 1979. Jackson's number four selection marks the seventh time an MSU player has been picked among the top 10 all time. He is the highest pick that Michigan State has had since 1979 when Magic Johnson was picked number one overall by the LA Lakers. And also, again, this is the highest that two Michigan State players have been selected since 1979 when Magic and Greg Kelcer were both picked. Greg was the fourth pick to the Detroit Pistons. We'll have more on Bridges and Jackson Jr. later on in the show before we close things out. I talk about the fit for Jackson Jr. with the Memphis Grizzlies and Miles Bridges with Michael Jordan, Charlotte Hornets. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome live here in Studio West, WKAR news reporter and producer Scott Pohl, who will talk about this morning's Board of Trustees meeting. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just wrapped up conversation on the NBA draft and briefly touched on a few takeaways. Again, Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr. selected as lottery picks last night. Bridges taken with the 12th pick to the LA Clippers. Bridges was later traded by the Clippers to the Charlotte Hornets for the 11th pick. And Jaren Jackson Jr. selected with the 4th overall pick. He'll be heading to the Memphis Grizzlies. I'll have more when it comes to the fit for both Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges with their respective teams in the Grizzlies and the Hornets. But as I mentioned at the top of the hour, in our Current Sports quick hit headliners, Michigan State University's governing board rejected an effort to oust the school's interim president and John Engler as trustees met to discuss how to pay for the $500 million settlement. Right now we have in studio our very own Scott Pohl to kind of take us through what occurred this morning. First off, Scott, happy Friday, and thank you for your time this afternoon. Sure. I saw a lot of things floating on social media this morning. I know that there were protesters this morning that confronted the board. Can you set the scene and take us through what occurred?
Okay, well, let's start with the meeting starting an hour earlier than normal and a public comment on the agenda being very early in the agenda as opposed to the usual thing in the past, which has been that the meeting would end with public comment. Skeptics might say that that was an effort to thwart public comment. Mm-hmm. I would not necessarily say that. There may have been other reasons for doing these things, but word got out very widespread that the meeting was starting at 8 instead of 9 and that public comment was early on the agenda. So it didn't stop anybody from coming for public comment. As I walked up to the building today, the statue of John Hanna in front of the administration building was decked out with teal ribbons, including one that looked like a really well-done bow tie.
How about that? Some creativity there.
Yes, and a bunch of teal-colored pinwheels were in the grass in front of the teal, of course, being the color of Reclaim MSU and their effort to support survivors of Larry Nassar.
Right.
So once the meeting began, John Engler began the meeting by reiterating his apology for a leaked email that came out this week in which he indicated a possibility from his point of view that the first of the survivors, Rachel Den Hollander, was maybe taking kickbacks from attorneys to stir up emotion over the Larry Nassar matter. He had issued an apology for that. He reiterated that apology. At that point, as you look at the agenda, an effort to remove him from office was not on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And so two trustees had called for him to step down or be fired this week. Brian Mossalem was first, Diane Byram was second. So Mossalem jumped in and made a motion to add an item to the agenda to fire interim president John Engler. And Byram immediately seconded that motion. Mm-hmm. The vote on that motion was 6-2 against. It failed 6-2, and so that item was not added to the agenda. So there was no vote to oust him. The vote was whether to add it to the agenda. But gotcha. That's how it played out. Now, throughout the meeting, especially during public comment, things got raucous at times. The Reclaim MSU people who were there, which includes survivors, families, and their supporters, all in teal-colored T-shirts, emotions ran high, as they frequently have at recent board meetings. Lots of shouting. At times, as the meeting proceeded to other business, the meeting was interrupted by disruptions from time to time. I'm going to play you a little tape of one of those disruptions. During trustee comment at the end of the meeting, trustee Mitch Lyons, while he was speaking, said that there's no handbook on how to handle this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. He was trying to explain the board's actions to this point. He said that the controversy could have an impact on the search for a new president or the search for a new interim president if John Engler were to resign or be fired.
Right.
And he said, in these words, nobody is walking into this hot mess right now, indicating that it's going to be hard to recruit a new president to Michigan State University because of this controversy. And then this exchange followed.
This cannot happen again. I mean, these comments cannot, and I will not allow it to happen again. We can't be fighting with you guys. There's just no place for it. And frankly, if John goes, in my mind, we all should go. Every single one of us. If this happens again, I'll be the first one to step down. Okay? And it's all of us. Okay, because not one of us at this table, if we really want to dig down deep and let things out in public, not one of us has a leg to stand on when it comes to things we've done in the course of this tragedy.
And resign. 20 years.
And trust me, I've thought of that. And where does that leave us? If John resigns and eight trustees resign, how much further does that push the ball forward in order to bring somebody in here? Trust me, I have lied awake at night. And these things have crossed my mind. And it's not an easy decision. Again, I don't have step one, two, three, four to get to that point.
You guys can do it. Move ahead and work with the survivors.
So you can see what it was like at the meeting today. Lots of emotion. There were some tears being shed, trust me, by family members, especially of survivors. The meeting broke up, adjourned shortly after that. They did a lot of things at today's meeting. They approved a two-year budget, which includes a tuition freeze for in-state students next year. Mm-hmm. They also approved the controversial appointment of Robert Young, the former Michigan Supreme Court Justice, to the university's general counsel job. That has been controversial, too. He's been a longtime friend and ally of interim President Engler, something of a controversial figure, too. His appointment was the source of more disruptions and calls from Reclaim MSU to reject his appointment. He got a three-year contract at $425,000 a year.
Okay.
And that's guaranteed, even if he's fired, now that he's been appointed. So there are lots of people unhappy about that appointment, too. So there was a lot going on there today.
A lot to take in. Yep. Again, our very own Scott Pohl taking us through what occurred during this morning's Board of Trustees meeting here on the campus of Michigan State University. I also saw in the news today, Scott, I don't know if this was talked about during the meeting, but Michigan State University's Executive Associate Athletic Director and Senior Women's Administrator, Shelly Applebaum, who will resign. Was that brought up at all?
It was not. I saw that on my Twitter feed while I was sitting in the meeting, and it did not come up during the meeting.
A few questions before we get you out of here. Also, when it comes to setting the scene, I saw on Twitter a few of the those in support of course, you know, firing John Engler, those who were there present with the teal T-shirts. I saw a few of them holding up phones that had the words "Fire Engler" on them as well.
The previous board meeting, Reclaim MSU members were not allowed to bring signs into the board meeting. And so what they did at that meeting, since they couldn't hold up signs, was they turned on their cell phones and were holding up images of their loved ones who had been survivors of Larry Nassar's abuse. Mm-hmm. Today, there was some of that with photos of survivors on their phones as they held them up, but some of them also had identical slogans like "Fire Engler" on them, and they were holding them up for the trustees to see.
Were there any gymnasts, survivors of Larry Nassar that you could identify?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay.
Kaylee Lorenz was there. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. There were several. The first several speakers were survivors.
Okay.
And then other supporters of the survivors, including one father who got very emotional, spoke during public comment.
And I know Rachel Denhollander, she has put out a statement in response to Engler's apology, right?
Yes, I've seen that. She was not at the meeting today that I saw. She certainly did not speak. If she was there, I didn't see her.
Okay. And how long was the meeting, roughly?
It was about 3 hours, which, frankly, is not all that unusual. I thought it might run longer than that today because there was a packed agenda, a two-page agenda.
Certainly.
So they got through it pretty quickly. But the public comment took over an hour.
Oh, did it? Okay. Yep. So that added on, of course, to those 3 hours. All right. Scott Pohl, I'm sure that you and the WKAR team will have further coverage on our website at WKAR.org and possibly ATC as well.
Yes. My story is already on the website. I've shared it to Facebook and Twitter. Shana Roth from the Michigan Public Radio Network was also there, and she's covering it for them. So you'll hear coverage on stations all over Michigan today.
Scott, outstanding job. Thank you so much for your time, my man.
Glad to help. Thank you.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will have Reflection Friday for you. Again, final thoughts on the NBA draft and a brief preview of tonight's NHL draft as well. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have just under 10 minutes left here in the hour. We just finished up a chat with our very own Scott Pohl, WKAR News reporter and producer, who covered this morning's Michigan State Board of Trustees meeting. A lot took place at that meeting, including the governing board rejecting an effort to add to the agenda John Engler, interim president for MSU, possibly getting fired. The meeting was to discuss how to pay for a $500 million settlement with hundreds of women and girls who said they were sexually abused and assaulted by sports doctor Larry Nassar. Okay, we try to shift gears here. Again, we've also been chatting about the NBA draft earlier in the show for segment A, as Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges have now made their leap to the National Basketball Association. Jackson Jr. will be heading to the Memphis Grizzlies with the number 4 overall pick. Jackson Jr., brief points here, Ian. Jackson Jr. is one of those players. He's a plug-and-play guy. He's so good. He's such a hybrid player that you can put him on any team, and I think he's instantly going to be a guy who's, first off, going to work his tail off, but can be a great contributor because he can take you inside and out. He goes to a team in Memphis who struggled last season. It's a 22-60 record with the Grizzlies. And then, of course, I like Miles Bridges going to Memphis. I mean, you get to work under the greatest basketball player of all time in Michael Jeffrey Jordan. That's going to be interesting to see how he pans out. But brief thoughts, do you like the fit for both of those players? Because I do.
Yes. Jaren Jackson, like you say, is one of those figures that you can plug into any system, especially playing under a coach like Tom Izzo, where they like to push the floor and really move in transition. Mm-hmm. Jaren is going to fit in really well with the Grizzlies, I think, and I think he'll be able to make an immediate impact with them. And then Miles Bridges as well, playing for the Hornets, like you say, he'll have the chance to learn under the tutelage of Michael Jordan a little bit, and some of the other veterans on that team. So I think both of them will be able to make immediate impacts, especially in the record area for both of those teams.
Yeah.
And we'll see what kind of goodness they have in store for us.
All right, briefly, live here in studio, you probably see their smiling faces right now. If you are tuned in via Facebook.com/WKAR News, we've got current sports production assistants Alec and Jack. You guys are in to briefly talk about tonight's NHL draft, which begins. I mean, how many days is this thing? Is it just one day?
2 days. First round tonight and then the rest of the rounds tomorrow.
And the rest of the rounds tomorrow. I'll get your thoughts on what the Wings should do tonight. Again, can you just kind of take us through what pick which picks they have and what do you think they should do with those picks? I'll start with Alec.
We currently have the 6th overall. We have the 30th overall and the 33rd overall. And I don't know the rest of them, but those are like the three ones that, you know, you want to look at. Because for the 6th, I see us picking Evan Bouchard, the star defenseman out of the London Knights. I was watching highlights of him last season, and he's a really good playmaker who can skate. Uses his quickness to skate up the ice and make some plays. He has very good passing abilities. His wrist shot and slap shot look very nice. Even when he's shooting from the line, it still looks like a laser. Mm-hmm. And I feel like his play style would definitely benefit the Red Wings, like especially on the power play, because we don't really have that many defensemen who like to join in on those rushes. Mm-hmm. And I see him kind of like a Brent Burns kind of defenseman, where he'll join in on the offensive rush a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's basically what I have for Evan Bouchard.
So he's going to be the guy. Do you concur with that, Jack, that Evan Bouchard is the guy that the Wings will select tonight?
I do think he's the guy you'd select. I don't know if he's the guy I'd select.
Really?
They definitely need a defenseman, whether it's him or Quinn Hughes from Michigan. Kind of depends. They're different play styles. But the MO the Wings have had the last couple of years, they've favored size. And Evan Bouchard's already 6'2", and he's like 200 pounds. Whereas Quinn Hughes he's 5'10 or 5'11. So if I were a betting man, yeah, if there's no volatility, picks 1 through 5, and he's still on the board at 6, I would imagine they'll take him. Yeah.
Okay, the rest of the picks for the Wings, real quick here, as we have about 3 minutes left. Jack, what should they do with the rest of the picks they have? And which picks are they again?
Yeah, sure. So they have the 30th, 33rd, and 36th in the first two rounds. And I certainly think they need to get a forward at probably 30, just because they're targeting defense at 6. And then the other thing I would say, I haven't heard too much talk about this, would be to get a goalie, just because they have a couple young prospects who are kind of up and coming. They took Philip Larson a couple of years ago, who had a really good year in the USHL last year. But even for him, he's going to be a couple of years away. So
right.
to get a goalie up high and hopefully a guy that could be ready in just a couple of years, because Jimmy Howard's contract's going to be up next year. You know, he's getting a little older. Would definitely behoove them to take a pick, to take a goalie at 30 or 33 or 36, I think.
Alec, final question for you guys. When it comes to the pool of players that the Wings will be selecting, I mean, are there any guys who are going to be immediate impact players? Because, I mean, Jack, you said a couple of years. Is there anybody who can come in year one next season and make a really big stamp on this franchise?
Are you saying for the Red Wings or just
for the Red Wings?
For the Red Wings. The players that we have are like in our prospect pool.
Right. Can Bouchard come in and be an immediate impact guy?
Possibly.
I think so.
Okay.
He has the upside to definitely do so. And some players that I think will definitely make a difference is Michael Rasmussen.
Right.
He's a very big forward. I think he'll make a huge impact next year. I also think that Evgeny Svechnikov, I think he'll definitely have a really good season this year. He got the tip of the iceberg last year playing a couple games, and honestly, I liked how he was playing. Didn't he score like one or two goals?
Yeah, two goals and two assists.
Two goals and two assists.
14 games.
Okay. I really liked how he was looking on the ice there.
Outstanding job, Jack and Alec. Again, that's what I do. When I talk hockey, I bring in guys who know it more than I do. All right, and they certainly do. Great stuff, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. Real quick, just a real quick yay or nay, do the Wings make the playoffs next season, Alec?
No.
Jack?
No.
Okay, they just laughed at me and said, Al, are you
no,
serious?
No, no,
okay.
No.
With a minute left, we can start rolling the outro music now. Ian, favorite moment of the week, and why do you have one, Ian?
My favorite moment of the week was the Jimmy Fallon skit that they did with all the basketball players. They had for Michigan State, it was Miles Bridges opening up a suitcase,
right,
and then
Jaren
Jackson Jr. Yep. pops out of it.
I love that. That was great stuff. And for me, it just has to be the draft. I mean, I love watching the draft, watching these young men make their NBA dreams come true. It was a really cool setting last night out at the Barclays Center in New York City. Until then, folks, again, we bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it on Monday, same time, same place. Be easy, people.